Hey everybody, Chris Fafalius here. If you enjoy One Hit Thunder, which I'm assuming you do considering you're listening to it right now, I want to tell you about another great music podcast on the Evergreen Podcast Network. It's called Riffs on Riffs. On this season of Riffs on Riffs, hosts Toby Braswell and Joe Watson are breaking down one iconic pop song each week. Everything from Taylor Swift's Cruel Summer to Journey's Don't Stop Believin' to Naughty by Nature's OPP. Each week, they crack open the song, trace its history, decode those cryptic lyrics, and unearth the hidden gems in its musical DNA. Not only do they dive into the song's history, lyrics, and impact, they also go down some fun and oftentimes hilarious rabbit holes. So yeah, if you're a fan of One Hit Thunder, I think you'll also enjoy Riffs on Riffs. So go hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Hey, One Hit Thunders. Thunderheads? Thunder buns? All right, I'll just go with One Hit Thunder listeners. This is Chris DeMakes, guitarist and vocalist for Less Than Jake, and host of Chris DeMakes a Podcast, a songwriting podcast where every week I'm joined by an amazing guest to break down the writing, recording, and release of one iconic song that they have written. In our giant evergreen back catalog of episodes, we've had rock legends such as Dee Snider and Huey Lewis, punk rock favorites such as Mark Hoppus, Fat Mike, and Brett Gurewitz, up-and-coming artists of today such as Liz Stokes of The Beths and Genesis Owusu, and even some of the artists that have been featured on One Hit Thunder. The show is even produced by One Hit Thunder host Chris Fafalius. What more could you possibly ask for? Chris DeMakes a Podcast is available for free on all the places you listen to podcasts, and new episodes come out every Monday. I guarantee you'll like it, or we'll give you your money back.
This week, return guest Matt Jurcevich joins us to discuss something that's got us feeling insane in the membrane. The fact that we can categorize legendary rap group Cypress Hill as a one-hit wonder. Despite having multiple high-charting albums and decades of widespread popularity, their 1993 single Insane in the Brain is the only one to cross over into the top 20 on the Billboard charts. In this episode, we'll break down their catalog, their vocal stylings, and even the awesome way they got banned from Saturday Night Live.
One hit is all you need to make the money guaranteed, and you can live off royalties forever. And it makes me wonder, is it just a wonder, or is it one hit thunder?
Welcome back, Jurce. You're here to talk about Cypress Hill, a band that I can't believe we're talking about on One Hit Thunder. They seem like they should have had, I don't know, 10 hits, but I guess they only have one true hit.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, I saw them on the list, and I was like, really? And then I thought about it, and I was like, oh, I guess, you know, Insane in the Brain was their top hit.
Yeah.
And they didn't get a lot of really high ones after that, even though they're multi-platinum recording artists, but yeah.
I feel like this is the first episode we're recording in person in a while. We've got a couple guests coming up, and I feel like it's strange that we're talking about this band despite blank, 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 blank is going to be a common thread throughout a couple of these episodes.
Sure. I remember my first experience of Cypress Hill was actually not this song. It was a song that I heard probably when I was 11 years old that I liked called How I Could Just Kill a Man.
Love that. I learned that song. My first exposure to that song was the Rage Against the Machine cover on their album Renegades.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
My first exposure to Cypress Hill was twofold. It was A, my cousin buying the Boom Bitty Bye Bye single for some reason, and then their appearance on The Simpsons.
Okay.
Yeah. Kill a Man was mine. I saw the video on MTV.
Yep.
They were walking around New York or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Ice Cube was in it.
Yeah.
And Q-Tip was in it and stuff like that. Video wasn't that great, though.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's how it was back then.
It was definitely getting some rotation in late summer of 1991. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 11-year-old relating to this rap song about how I could just kill a man.
Well, so here was the weird thing with that song, because it was number one on the hip-hop chart, but on the Hot 100, which is what we usually look at, 77 Barely even breaking in there.
Right. And it wasn't long after, it was a year later, 1992, that Cypress Hill was on Lollapalooza, which would have been the absolute dream of 12-year-old me to go to Lollapalooza in middle school. But unfortunately, I was sitting with Jerson study hall.
Saying menorah to each other and laughing.
Yeah, saying the word menorah to each other.
Well, so they got to go to Lollapalooza 1 year later because they also released their second album, Black Sunday, a year after their debut album, and it gave them a very distinct thing. Cypress Hill is the first rap group to have two albums in the top 200 simultaneously.
Oh, nice.
No other rap group, have done that since. I think DMX had two albums on the top 10 at the same time when he first came out. Or
so
something.
Rapper, you said rap group. So just rapper in general?
I guess just rap in general. I didn't dive into that specifically. But DMX would have been after the fact anyway. But yeah, Cypress Hill was the first rap group to have two albums in the top 200. Did you know about Cypress Hill before they were Cypress Hill?
No, I didn't.
So they started under the name DVX, which stood for Devastating Vocal Excellence.
Mm-hmm.
But they changed their name when one of their founding members broke off to do a solo career. Mellow Man Ace.
Yeah.
Mellow Man Ace used to be in Cypress Hill.
I'm not familiar with Mellow Man Ace. You guys are saying that to me like I should know who
Mellow Man Ace is. He's another future one-hit wonder episode for us.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was Mellow Man Ace's song?
Mentorisa.
Don't know it.
What was Cypress Hill's name before Cypress Hill?
DVX. Devastating Vocal Excellence.
Excellence. It should be DVE.
Yeah.
I've always just known Be Real.
Yeah.
Be Real was the one person I knew. Did you know the other people in?
I knew Sendog.
Sendog.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's the guy.
Yeah.
And so, it, yeah, then know that guy's name, too.
And Be Real is the more like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when I was thinking about Cypress Hill, they have to be an influence on ICP, right?
They have
absolutely.
To be. Yeah.
Yeah.
All of those weed-based and gang-based bands as well. I mean, they were B-Real was getting shot in 1988, you know, in real gang stuff, so.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, those guys looked up to them definitely. Mushroom Head, all those guys, all those good guys.
Right. Mushroom Head.
I heard they're a weed band? I thought they were a weed band.
I thought they were a shroom band.
Oh, are they?
I don't know.
I thought they were about all natural stuff.
I never listened to a single song, but I just assumed that they were like a proto Slipknot type.
Yeah,
band.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Aren't they from? They're from Cleveland, I think, and I think they're like a Slipknot band.
I'm sorry I brought it up. I'm with Matt. I don't know much about them, but I always assumed that they were in that that vein of.
Now, if anything,
groups and bands
Kings.
About drugs. Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah, Cottonmouth Kings. Yeah,
there we go.
They were absolutely, but yeah, that's kind of on the nose.
Insane in the Brain was the crossover hit. It got up to 19 on the Hot 100. Their only top 20 hit. In
badass
their
song. Yeah, badass song.
You like Insane in the Brain?
I love Insane in the Brain. That got me so pumped up. Oh, I love that song. How do you want to start talking about it? I mean, the music is awesome. All the different layers that Muggs did with the production.
Yeah.
The lyrics are cool. I mean, yeah.
There was a lot of debate over just what the one sound was. When I was doing research, it was like...
The wee!
Yeah, they're like, some people say it's a sample of a horse. Other people say it's a trumpet. And other people say it's a guitar. And Muggs was never clear. He was just like, yeah. But whenever someone say what it was, he'd be like, that's it.
Actually, you know, that whole early 90s, they all had some kind of high-pitched squeal. A lot of them had a high-pitched squeal in it, like Bone Thugs and, you know, all them. Like, what was that sound, though?
Yeah.
I never knew what exactly. It was always like a...
I pulled a very long explanation, but this was a quote from Muggs. He said, it's weird. Everyone thinks that that's a horse, but it ain't. I've seen that a bunch of times on these sample websites. That's a sound I made from a blues guitar. At the time, I used to run the sounds through guitar amps, and then I heard that horse thing, and I was like, oh, yeah, I guess it does sound like a horse. Honest to God, those sample sites just get everything wrong. They've got some shit right, but then I'll go, I never used that, and I don't know where they gather their information. Sometimes they're spot on, and sometimes I'm just like, yo, you guys are so off.
Got it.
But that sound was like the signature sound of that type of music, just like the wah in the 70s. The waka 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 waka. Yeah, that was with hip hop back then, that high pitched sound, which I missed. I wish they'd bring it back.
Be Real his vocals, those are very distinct for Cypress Hill. That's probably the first thing I think of are his nasally vocals, you know,
oh, yeah.
the ICP style, whatever you want to say. But he actually said it was because he sang that way because he wanted to stand out and be distinct. He said when you got something that can separate you from everybody else, you got to use it to your advantage. And I think that's all. I mean, that can be said for all music, but I feel especially in rap. If you think about the people that are like the rap superstars, there's something very distinctive about each of their voices. Think about Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
So distinct. Whether you like him or not, it's so distinct. You know it's him the second you hear it. And anybody, Eminem, you know mm-hmm. that's him the mm-hmm. second you hear it. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's... It's a really good point. I think it's a big part of why Cypress Hill was
B-Roll's,
so popular.
His tone is a beacon for that band. You hear the tone of his voice the split second you hear it, you know what band that is.
Well, and I wonder sometimes if the reason why a lot of people assume Cypress Hill doesn't fall into the one hit wonder category, beyond the fact that they obviously had a good amount of hip hop charting hits.
It.
This yeah. is the only. But B-Roll constantly was showing up on people's records. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. he was on. This is a bit of a weird track to talk about, but he was on the Space Jam soundtrack on that Monstars song. That's like one of the greatest collections of MCs
yeah.
where it's like Method Man, Coolio, Busta Rhymes, B-Real, and LL Cool J all just rapping about basketball for four
oh,
minutes.
Oh, man, that was my shit.
That song rules.
The original Space Jam, yeah.
And don't forget that Cypress Hill also teamed up with Pearl Jam on the Judgment Night soundtrack.
Yeah, they did. Dude, the Judgment Night soundtrack is such a cool concept of just, let's grab rock groups and throw a rapper with them.
Yeah. Hey, Jers, if yep. another Cheetah teamed up with a rap group, who would we team up for the Judgment Night 2 soundtrack?
A Judgment Night 2 soundtrack?
Yeah.
Besides Cypress Hill?
Do you think we should team up with Cypress Hill?
I definitely think it would be Cypress Hill. I mean, even if we weren't on an episode with that was talking about Cypress Hill and you asked me that question, I'd be like, Cypress Hill.
Okay.
All right. Hey, you. Did you have any plans this year? Ha! How's that going? Did you get 2020'd? Well, welcome to a brand new podcast called 2020'd, where myself, Benny Goodman, and my good friends Corey Pazin and Siobhan Cronin from the band Lost Symphony also got 2020'd.
And since the world ended this year, we decided why not just check in with some of our friends in the music industry and see how everyone's doing.
We're going to get a candid look at life on and off the stage, as well as the mindset of some of the most successful people in the entertainment industry.
New episodes drop every Sunday and Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern.
And you can listen at 2020-D.com, SoundTalentMedia.com, or on your favorite podcast app.
By now, I'm sure you've at least heard about Factor, but if you haven't tried it yet, let me tell you as a guy who loves it, now is the time. Enjoy stress-free dining this spring with Factor's chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals that are ready in just 2 minutes. With 35 weekly options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie, plus over 60 add-ons, you'll stay fueled and feel fantastic all day long. Don't wait. Fuel up for your spring goals today with Factor. Factor offers you chef-prepared meals ready in just 2 minutes, so you can spend more time doing what you love this spring. Indulge in gourmet options like filet mignon, shrimp, and fresh veggies without the hassle of prep or cleanup. Customize your weekly meals to fit your schedule perfectly and enjoy the convenience of Factor's no-fuss, no-mess approach. Plus, you can celebrate Earth Day all month long with Factor's low-carbon footprint options. Factor is your go-to solution for fast, premium meals, eliminating the need for cooking and empowering you to savor every moment. So head to factormeals.com/onehit50 and use the code onehit50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code onehit50, the words one hit and the number 50, at factormeals.com/onehit50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
You know, Chris, we've talked a lot on this podcast about like music festivals we wish we could have gone to, the Woodstock 94, or like the Live Aids of the world. What do you think the merchandising was like at some of those events?
I know that I could easily spend all my money, especially Woodstock 94. Could you imagine how many shirts you would have walked out of there with? I mean, I would have spent every dollar I had to try to get... I don't know. Yeah, I'd have got a Green Day shirt. I'd have got a Nine Inch Nails shirt. Anything. Is it a band? There was a point in my life, like you were with CDs, I think you've said before, Matt, where it was like, if it was a band t-shirt, yeah, I'll wear it. I don't care. Is it a band? doesn't matter. I'll wear it.
There's a place where you could relive that moment or live out that fantasy. Rockabilia.com. You could go look up all of the bands that you loved from Woodstock, or hell, just go and get a Woodstock shirt.
They're true. Good point. Yeah, Rockabilia.com. It's awesome. They're our sponsor. I mean, I love that they're a music-based company. We all love music merch. We love wearing t-shirts. We love wearing hoodies. All the stuff to show the world what we're into. And sometimes that even creates a new friend. Someone looks at you from across the way and is like, "Whoo, daddy, look at that Nine Inch Nails t-shirt you're wearing." I don't know how often that happens, but it could. You could make a lifelong friend. It might be someone you would just cross paths with and not say anything to each other. But not only is it a comfortable thing to wear, it's something I've been comfortable in for most of my life, a good band t-shirt or hoodie, but also it can be a conversation starter. It's a great thing, and it supports the artist that you love. Like Rockabilia.com, everything is officially licensed, and you have your choice of over 500,000 items.
That's a lot of items, folks. Yeah.
Rockabilia.com, that's the place you want to go if you want to get some items.
If you want to save some money in your pocket, we can get 15% off that purchase for you using our discount code Thunder.
Yeah, I think that's a great discount code to use. It just makes you feel like you're doing something good. You're saving money. Man, this is Thunder right now. Typing that in, it's satisfying to type Thunder while you're ordering a new
Woodstock 94 sticker.
Yeah, maybe you're getting like an awesome Radiohead tour t-shirt to show everyone, man, I have very good taste in music. Look at me. I'm wearing this Radiohead shirt. Savannah Guthrie. Do you know who that is?
No.
She's like from Good Morning America, I think. But she was wearing a Radiohead t-shirt the one day, like making food on there. I was like, oh, you want everyone to know how cool you are, Savannah Guthrie. But look, you don't have to be Savannah Guthrie to go to rockabilia.com, use a discount code Thunder, and get 15% off your order. You don't have to be.
Do you ever see the size of the joints they bring out on stage?
I'd be so
scared
much
of those.
Fun.
Oh yeah, right, okay. I want to talk about the size of the joints that they bring on stage for a quick second. Got a little game for you guys. Guessing game. Right. So, they are one of six artists banned from SNL. They're one of seven artists banned on SNL. I'll give you the reason why they were banned was that prior to their performance, studio execs, record label representatives, and the group's associates constantly reminded them to not smoke marijuana while they were on stage on television. DJ Muggs became so irritated that they kept bringing it up that he decided to just light a joint in the middle of their second song.
Really?
The incident prompted NBC to ban the group from ever returning to the show. Can you name the other six artists that are banned from SNL and what caused for them being banned?
Okay.
Off the top of my head, I don't know the answers, but off the top of my head, I want to say Sinead O'Connor did, because she pissed everyone off that 1 year that she was famous. Yep. So I'm guessing that she pissed somebody off at Saturday Night Live. Was she it?
Yep, she got banned for tearing up the picture of the Pope.
Oh, that's it, the Pope.
And she was very justified for doing that, by the way. We covered that on past episode. Go
Yeah. I'm not. But she did piss everybody off.
Yes, she did.
So that's one for Juris. You got any more?
Elvis Costello?
Yep. And what did he do?
What did Elvis Costello do?
He didn't play the song they wanted him to play or something.
Correct.
Right?
He played Radio in place of the song they asked him to play.
I think I got some more.
One for one?
Wait, do you have another guess? You said there's six others.
There's four more on the board.
Yeah.
Can we get a hint?
I mentioned that they covered a song by Cypress Hill.
Rage.
Yeah.
Really?
Do you know what they were banned for?
Their bass player was always doing shit.
I would say cussing.
Cussins. The cussins.
Hanging upside down American flags on their amps.
Oh,
interesting.
It was an act of protest because the host that week was a Republican senator.
Oh, wow. So, that's awesome.
The remaining three are way more difficult.
Fear?
Fear.
There Fear, nice.
Yeah, they were John Belushi really liked Fear, so he got them to be a thing, and they just like
destroyed the set.
They just were Fear.
Yeah, they were just Fear.
Was Flea in that at that time?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
They wouldn't have been on Saturday Night Live if it wasn't for Belushi.
There's two more, but these are deep cuts that I wouldn't have even thought of artists that had ever been on SNL. The Replacements.
Right. I knew that.
Yeah.
I knew that because, they just... were real drunk, right?
Yeah. They got drunk and kept cursing during their set.
Yeah.
Specifically the lead singer yelling, "Come on, you fuckers," when their guitar was on.
That's such an awesome thing to say on Saturday Night Live. I would love to get banned from Saturday Night Live.
This is my favorite one, which is Frank Zappa for just being terrible at being a host. So he was brought on the host and he just constantly kept acknowledging that he was reading off of cue cards and not saying things he actually believed. And then there was a kind of a half point because the banning only lasted like a year. It wasn't a full ban. And this is kind of fucked up. David Bowie got temporarily banned for changing the song at the very last second to fuck with Lauren Michaels. Specifically, he performed a song that Lauren had told him in private was the song that he couldn't listen to anymore because it reminded him of his lowest points in life doing too much cocaine.
Wow.
So David Bowie just was like, we're going to play it and fuck with Lauren. And Lauren did not find that funny.
You don't tell David Bowie what to do. I'm sorry. You just don't.
Hey, to bring it back around, I want to talk about Insane in the Brain.
Uh-huh. All right.
Yeah.
I feel like there are parts of this song. There are so many very memorable things about this song. First of all, it's, who are you trying to get crazy with this, eh? Don't you know I'm loco? I feel like kids in middle school would say that to each other.
Oh,
I feel like that was
such
a popular thing. I think the lines that they would say where like the music would stop, like, I'll jack your ass like a looter in a riot.
Oh, yeah.
Also, another thing that I never knew that this was the lyric, cops, come and try to snatch my crops. These pigs want to blow my house down. I didn't know it was come and try to snatch my crops. I thought it was crotch.
Cops, come and try to snatch my dick.
I honestly think literally the entire first verse is like, I think any kid who listened to rap music could recite that first verse by memory.
Oh, yeah. But I still don't know why he feels like the son of Sam. What is...
Maybe because he's...
When I come and slam, I feel like the son of Sam. Murdering. Because he's murdering?
He's murdering the mic.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
He could have... I mean, I guess that rhymes real well. He could have picked a better murderer than David Berkowitz. He's kind of a...
If you're talking about...
but he's L.A.
No. Berkowitz is New York.
Yeah.
Berkowitz is New York. Oh. Which is weird because they shot all their videos in like New York, but they're from L.A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Hmm.
Oh, I mixed up Son of Sam. What's the one with the Netflix doc?
That's Night Stalker.
Night Stalker.
That's L.A.
Son of Sam is the guy who heard dogs telling him what to do.
Right. Yeah.
His neighbor was named Sam.
Yeah.
And his Labrador told him to kill people.
Yes.
Which I don't believe that story.
No, not
he made that up.
That is a desperate plea for sanity.
Insanity.
If you're talking about parts where the beat drops out, though, that always stick in your head, it's when he says, General Electric and the lights all blinking. I'm thinking it's all over when I go out drinking. And then the beat comes back in.
Yeah. I mean, very memorable song. You know, I got to admit, for some reason, I wasn't that into I like it more now than I did then. I don't know why. It's so up my alley.
I don't know, man. I used to listen to it to get pumped up for like middle school or before middle school football and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like boom, tsh, boom, 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 tsh, boom.
Yeah.
You know, it got me pumped up.
I will say that looking at the lyrics, it is very obvious why Be Real became the standout one of the group, because Send Dog's verse kind of sucks. it's not great.
He's doing his shit undercover.
Only line that I literally, of the entire verse, is just when he says, punk's just jealous because they can't outright me. Like, that is the closest thing to a good line in his whole verse. Versus, like I said, that first verse, even splitting up the word flamboyant, like... To the one on the flamboyant tip, and that's
so cool.
Like,
that is
so cool. Flow is so cool.
And that's like, a call out to one of his friends. They called him like the flamboyant one or something like that. So he was just like saying what's up to one of his friends at the beginning of the song.
These guys really brought the bucket hat to the forefront too.
The LL Cool J one?
Is that? Oh yeah. Okay.
No, I mean LL Cool J for sure. But when I think bucket hats, I think of Sendog from Cypress Hill.
Right.
I think of previous episode, New Radicals.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the fishing hat.
The fishing hat that's covering your eyes.
Yeah. I gotcha. I never know what hats or dog breeds are called. Yeah. So, yeah, those aren't my things.
Bucket hats.
Yeah, those are dope, though. I've never had one, but I always.
You would wear a bucket hat?
I wouldn't wear one now, but I wanted to wear one, but I couldn't pull it off back in the day.
I did
either.
Wear one back
you
in the
did?
Day.
You did?
Nice. I did not pull it off, but I did wear it.
That's too bad.
Hey, it's pretty crazy that Black Sunday, the album this is from, debuted at number one. The album debuted at number one, but this song peaked at number 19. This was their biggest song.
So I think I texted you about this the other day, but Cypress Hill, obviously a rap group, but they were like one of the few rap groups. I feel like it was like them and like Beastie Boys. And there was a couple other rap groups that would find their ways onto the alternative radio chart or alternative music stations. It was in response to a bonus episode of the DeMakes podcast where you were debating why an artist would call themselves alternative rock, because like all of those bands were the biggest bands in the world. And I said, well, I think it's because they were the alternative to like the overwhelming amount of pop music that was dominating the radio. So if you're wondering about that 19, I can tell you what else was hanging out on the charts that particular week that it peaked.
Oh, I know some of them.
So
what is this, 93?
This is 93.
September 25th, 1993.
September 93.
Yep. So I just grabbed some peak ones here that were above it. So this was at 19. At 17, The Proclaimers with 500 Miles, I'm Gonna Be.
Mm-hmm.
14 was Aerosmith with Crying.
Yeah.
Okay.
At number 13, I grabbed Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince with Boom Shake the Room.
Oh, okay.
At 12, you had I Get Around from Tupac.
Ooh. That's right. So I had 8, Runaway Train by Soul Asylum.
Uh-huh.
7 was Michael Jackson, Will You Be There from the Free Willy soundtrack.
Ugh.
Get that ook ready again, because at number 6, in probably his worst single, Billy Joel with River of Dreams.
What was that? In the middle of the night.
And then another one that we've recently talked about, number 2, Tag Team with Whoop, There It Is.
That's good stuff.
They just couldn't get past Mariah Carey, Dream Lover. So that was what Cypress Hill was going up against.
You skipped a couple important ones that I know Jers will appreciate. Jers, right. Also, at number 5, If from Janet Jackson.
Oh, yes.
So good.
Oh, so good.
At number 4, Can't Help Falling in Love, UB40. Oh,
I think I just skipped that one because I feel like we bring it up every time we're talking about
Help Falling in Love.
So good. Hey, and number 3 was Right Here by SWV. Now, I don't remember. I remember Week from SWV. I don't remember Right Here by them.
That had, I believe, a Michael Jackson sample in it or something.
Oh, was it Human Nature? Yeah.
Right Here.
Yeah, I think Human Nature. Yeah. A couple other ones that I thought would be interesting to bring up just so you get context of the time. This was, you know, Insane in the Brain were above these ones. Number 46, which I think would be a really fun one to do in a future episode, Knockin' the Boots by H-Town. 41, we did this one on One Hit Thunder, What Is Love from Hathaway.
Oh, yeah.
What is that?
Baby, don't hurt me.
At 39, Slam from Onyx.
Oh, that song slams so hard. I love it.
Yeah, it does slam. Number 35, another one we did before, Four Non-Blondes, What's Up? 33 was Hey Jealousy.
Uh-huh.
29 was not Whoop, There It Is, Woot, There It Is.
Woot?
From 95 South.
That's worse than the Monster Swim.
Yeah.
And the only other thing I wanted to mention is 26 was Soul to Squeeze by the Red Hot Chili Peppers, which Conehead soundtrack.
Tasty lick.
The best Red Hot Chili Peppers song, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
100%.
Then, you know, Cypress Hill played at Woodstock 94.
Yeah, they did.
The best Woodstock.
The best one. Better than 69.
Hell yeah, it was.
Something else about Cypress Hill, again, just saying, like, I feel like I can speak for us before we even get here, but I don't think any of us have any right to call this group a blunder. We're just going to put that out there in the ether now. But further proof that we probably shouldn't call them a blunder is that they are also the first rap group to ever have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in 2019. The fact that it took until 2019 for a rap group to get a star on the Walk of
Fame. Back to the group versus solo artist. Is there a solo rapper that's on there?
There has to be.
Because 2019 and Cypress Hill be the first rap people.
I'm going to search real
quick. I mean, that would be so hard to believe.
It's hard to believe that the Beastie Boys would be on there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Run DMC.
Well, how the hell didn't the Beastie Boys get on, you know, on there yet?
That's, I don't know.
Run DMC.
It's got to be that California thing, man.
All right, so yeah, rappers on the Walk of Fame. So Sean Diddy Combs got his star in 2008.
Okay.
Pharrell Williams got it in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
LL Cool J in 2016. Pitbull in 2016. Pitbull? Ice Cube in 2017. Snoop in 2018. And then Cypress Hill in 2019.
So they are the only rap group.
They're the only rap group still. And then 50 Cent got it in 2020.
One of those things is not like the other in that list.
Yeah.
Pitbull?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Sean Combs was the very first one in 2008.
Sorry,
I missed one. 2006, Queen Latifah. Queen Latifah was the first star.
Wow. Nice. Okay. Nice. She should be.
Yeah, I'm okay with that, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do have two more quick things about Insane in the Brain that I forgot that I had written down here that are interesting.
Uh-huh.
First of all, according to Be Real, the song is actually a diss aimed at Chubb Rock. The group felt like Chubb had ridiculed their style on his 1992 album, I Gotta Get Mine, Yo. And then this just makes me laugh. DJ Muggs credited Jump Around by House of Pain, a song he also produced, as a major influence on the song.
It's cool to be influenced by yourself. What better influence is there?
Oh, he did write that. Yeah, that's right. I think it was going to be a Cypress Hill song, and then they just gave it to Everlast or House of Pain.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that Cypress Hill's next album, 3, Temples of Boom, that was released in 1995, peaked at number 3 on the Billboard 200, went platinum. The song Throw Your Set in the Air was the most successful single from the album, and it peaked at number 5 on the Hot 100. So we usually consider, like, in the top 40. I barely remember that song.
It may have topped at 5 on the hip-hop chart.
Gotcha.
Because it peaked at 45 on the Hot 100.
Okay, yeah, right. And it, that's what I said, 45.
Okay, I thought you said 5.
No,
yeah,
45.
Yeah, 45.
And it earned them their third Grammy nomination as well. Then I was like, what other Cypress Hill songs do I really know? Rock Superstar, for sure.
Which didn't cross over into the Billboard Hot 100 at all, which shocked me because I felt like that song was much
bigger.
It was
on the radio constantly when it came out.
But Dr. Green Thumb was their last song on the top 100, which was peaked at 70
now
on that same album.
I actually was a fan of theirs back in the day. So I do like old, like Hits from the Bong.
Yeah.
We said Killer Man, Dr. Green Thumb. I ain't going out like that. You know, I want to get high.
Yeah.
That song's great.
Yeah.
Later one, Illusions.
Illusions was good.
I liked that song a lot, actually.
Hand on Pump, I liked, which then got, Method Man and Redman sampled it at the end of their, song. They're probably the highest charting song for Method Man and Redman. That's that sawed-off shotgun, hand on a pump.
All right, yeah, they're talking shit, teasing. I just thought they were all about weed and... See, what I got is they were all about weed, and they're all about being tough, but not imposing that on people. They're just like, hey, we're just going to sit here and smoke weed, but if you try to fuck with us, we're going to fuck you up real bad. But we don't want to do that. We just want to smoke weed.
Yeah.
You know? So I appreciated that. And back in the feudal days, the rap feudal days of the early 90s and stuff like that, they were I don't know, everybody had beef with everybody. But then Biggie and Tupac got shot. And then thank God for weed, you know, it was in their minds and they went, whoa, maybe we should apologize to everybody that we have beef with and just say, hey, everything's fine. And you know, that's, I just really appreciate their different outlook than the other gangster rappers, even though they came from gangster land. They're talking about AKs and all that stuff, but they kind of just went over to the marijuana aspect, you know, as the years went on and, you know, other things and got away from that. But I liked them. They weren't heavy on it. That's what I want to say.
I'm looking at the very last verse. And the last couple lines, this is one of the songs where I definitely sit and rap along with it, but I don't think I know what the words are a lot of time until I'm actually looking at them, which is when he says, yes, I'm the pilot of this ship. If I get with the ultraviolet dream, hide from the red light beam. Now do you believe in the unseen? Look, but don't make your eyes strain.
Hmm. Yeah.
What the hell is he talking about?
let me see that again. I don't know, man. It sounds cool.
It sounds great. He lost me at the end.
I mean, with the video and all that stuff, with all the trippy lights and stuff, and he's pressing on the sheet metal reflection.
You see something about your eyes straining?
Yeah.
Look, he said, but don't make the eyes strain. Yeah.
Yeah, look, but don't make your eyes strain.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, there's just lots of lights in the club going around and everything. Yeah. But why does he call out Louis Armstrong, a trumpet player from 60 years earlier?
Because he's got that sweet trumpet sample behind him when he says it.
Oh, okay. Is it a trumpet?
I think there is. There's something in the background when that part, because it's another one, the part where the beat drops out for a second.
Oh, the circus music. Yeah.
Louis Armstrong played the trumpet, I'll break off something soon.
Oh, that song is, that part rules right there, man. That drop out, cops come and try to snatch my crops.
Yeah, we were talking.
Oh, man, such a good drop out and smashing right back in.
So remember I was talking about how DJ Muggs bitched about how it was a guitar sample? And everyone kept saying it was a horse.
Uh-huh.
I forgot there was a second part of this. However, less than 2 months later, in an interview with The Guardian, Muggs claimed that the sound effect was a horn and not a guitar. Muggs claims that he has a foggy memory of what when it comes to samples being used on Insane in the Brain due to the fact that part of the song's production was just a lot of weed being smoked.
Right. Hey, look, I'm not the biggest Cypress Hill fan, but I would just be wrong to call them a blunder.
I can't deny them.
But they definitely won me over with the smoking weed on Saturday Night Live. That's amazing. I gotta try to find that. I wonder if they like cut away from it.
I'm sure he like probably pulls it out and you see like the lighter go and then it just like jump cuts to some other shot.
But yeah, back to that, what you were just saying about the samples and stuff like that. I love the amalgamation of different sounds that are in this song too. Like the bass sounds like it was recorded by Thomas Edison.
Yeah.
Like in a room, giant room in like 1920 or something like that, you know?
It's kind of cool because it combined, it's one of the only songs I can think of that really well combines like the East Coast, the West Coast sound, because like Dre was using all those like synthesizers and stuff, but it also has like late 80s hip hop boom bap sound to it. It's like a weird like combination of all these different types of hip hop music into one song. It's a cool song. It's such a cool song that VH1 actually ranked it the 34th greatest song in the history of hip hop.
Nice. I'd give it top 50.
Okay.
Yeah, sure, why not?
This has been One Hit Thunder. One Hit Thunder is hosted by Chris Vafalios of the bands Punchline Pack and Another Cheetah and produced by Matt Kelly of Geekscape.net. Underneath me, you're hearing Lemon Yellow Hands by Another Cheetah. We're on Patreon now. Become a patron and get bonus content, early episodes, and a chance to vote on future episodes at patreon.com/OHTpodcast. Do you want to start a podcast? Contact Chris or myself at wenopodcasting.com for how we can make your show sound as professional as possible. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting app, and tune in next week for more One Hit Thunder.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
Hey, this is Aaron from No Simple Road. I'm inviting you to come hang out with Apple, Mel, and I as we talk with the musicians, artists, chefs, authors, and beyond from the world that turns us on. We're reaching into the improvisational music scene, the psychedelic culture, the festival world, and getting to know what makes the people tick that create those scenes. Come join us on the long, strange trip over at No Simple Road.
Hey everyone, this is Tuck from Fit for a King, an off-road minivan. Every week I bring you fun interviews alongside your favorite metalcore entertainers with my new podcast, Get Tucked. Join me every Monday with bands like Counterparts, Crystal Lake, like Moths to Flames, and many more. We play unsigned and undiscovered bands, deep dive into each artist's history, and of course provide the greatest breakdowns in current metalcore. Tune in to Get Tucked every Monday, out now through Sound Talent Media.